Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, December 8th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual tonight, Miracle Man. I'm your host, the Miracle Man. My name is Rabbi Shimon. Live in Midland, Michigan, but tonight I am actually not even on location. We're actually driving back to Midland from down in the southern part of Michigan, down in the area between City of Flint, City of Detroit, suburban Detroit, you could say. We had some shopping things that we had to do for the holidays. Speaking of which, this show is brought to you by your local shopping center and your local and national retailers who encourage you to give Amazon a break and come inside and check out and see what they got to have to offer. Especially with the mail and how swamped they've been in that. Give them a break. Go on inside. At first, when I was over there at the shopping center, I was a little disappointed. It seemed like there was a lack of people. But then it turned up big. Were you surprised by how much it increased, Megan? I was.
Yes.
And I have to say, listeners, that was good to see. I think that's good to see when on a weeknight at like 5:20 p.m. or so, on a weeknight that is December the 8th, and you walk out of this large mall, into the parking lot, and it turns out the parking lot's 60% full, that, in my mind at least, that's a good sign. I really believe that because in a way, I always try to be optimistic. I really do. I try to have a positive outlook. Sometimes it may not always be easy, but this year I was like, I don't think anything will ever be packed at all. Maybe half full. Maybe not even the long lines. But there's been a couple of times this year where this season where I've actually been pleasantly surprised at how many people were still. Listeners, I really hope you didn't hear that, and if you did, don't you worry about it. Don't worry about it, because I, listeners, I'm going to carry on with this show no matter what. I'm just not going to let it faze me, because thankfully I'm not the one driving. and we're just gonna keep plowing on. But I was going to say Black Friday was good. Like I said, today was very encouraging. I wonder how this next weekend's going to be. And the other thing I wonder, will it continue to stay kind of up-tempo a little bit, or at least better than what I'm thinking, better than what I thought at least, or will it suffer a bit of a decline? I don't know. Why did they pick this one? Anyhow, I'd rather just, if it's going to be about that, I'd rather just stick to the toilet paper.
Yeah.
And why this is and why I just saw a miracle, listeners. I was just in the Target store in Millennium, Vegas, just kind of looking, just taking a bit of a look around, like to see. And believe it or not, guess what they had a lot of that they almost had none of a couple weeks ago? Toilet paper. The toilet paper is actually coming back, at least in Target.
Well, now they're taking away the toilets, though.
But because I remember, because in the past, I don't remember all the toilet paper being almost back 2 weeks after it went away. It took months to get it back. Because some of y'all listeners, I didn't say me, maybe a few of you, I don't know, maybe a few of you hoarded it in March. And if you did, yes, I forgive you. And I'm sure Jesus will forgive you too. But if you hoarded it a couple weeks ago, then, like I said, I'll still forgive you. But as I said, we had some, some few things we needed to purchase. So, and of course, we got to see my wonderful mother and father, who, by the way, my mother and father, I forgot to acknowledge this on my show. They have been married 15 years. 15 years as of this past Thursday. But that's one of the hard things about having the anniversary right during the conference. It makes it harder to acknowledge and to really do it right. They don't have one?
They're open by the God.
And, but like I said, listeners, they listeners, like I was saying, next year it'll be on a Friday, so that'll help a little bit. Yeah, it'll help a little bit. But what about a lot? Not necessarily. Yeah, it'll help a bit, because then we can always do something for Saturday. Or they can always do something for Saturday. Because 15 years is quite the accomplishment, the way I think of it. Because I was 16 years old when they proposed and when they married. It was just a smidge over 3 months between their proposal. Their proposal, in which they became engaged, and their wedding day. They'll do it over at least a year. One person I know, it will be about 2 years. Because they were going to have their wedding in September, but, canceled. And will be instead done next October. Because the bride, she wanted her wedding in the fall at all costs. Which, obviously, I know this person very well. The bride has been one of my helpers for the last 3 years. And obviously I have no problem with that at all. And would you have wishes for the timing of your wedding? Well, I'd like it to be in the summer so that you can do it outside, of course, if you want. I think it would be cool to do it outside, but on that big field across the road, like where they would do the sports tournament, like where they did the flea market, maybe. That might not be a bad idea, right? Getting married on that field. Yeah, because then Because then you have all the people come, but it's out on that field. And the reason why I would want it out on that field is because in the summer, I love being outside. I wish there was like a big beach with an area that you could cordon off for a wedding to have like, you know, 300, 400, 500 people.
They have beach weddings.
What I mean is like where there's 300, 400, 500 people.
You want a wedding?
What you say, what do you mean by that? Like as many, so that way as many people from Living Word that want to can come for the ceremony. Yeah, that's what made me think of that big was like Living Word. And of course, others, because I wouldn't want a venue so small that like 99% of the church doesn't get to come. Because I was the first baby dedicated in that sanctuary. Listeners, I was the first baby dedicated in that in the sanctuary. In what is now the sanctuary, I should say, at my local church. The building that used to be the sanctuary was torn down like 3-4 years ago by my pastor, who chose to do it in private for whatever reason, and didn't let hardly any of the church family know so he could invite people to celebrate with them. I forgive him for that, but sometimes you ever have it sometimes when you're just in that funny mood and you don't know why. Like in a good mood, but another way, it's just a funny one. You ever have that?
Yeah, I do actually.
Sometimes you do.
It's like you're just out of nowhere, you're just like making a bunch of like jokes and being
goofy. Yeah.
Really, just as simple as like being like. Yeah.
But still, like I said, listeners. He wouldn't let people come out, because I'm sure he was screaming and wow, as he was not. I'm sure he was having so much fun on that bulldozer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these other buildings that he's going to tear down aren't as big, but I don't think it is. They're not very big, are they? Is one of them fairly big?
Their new ones are bigger.
No, the old ones that we get to tear down.
Yeah,
if one of them was the size of Target or something, that would be funner. Yeah, and of course, I'd like to see the church family drive their cars on top of that building. That's what I'd like to see. But then again, of course, there's safety hazards in that. Of course, if it was me driving, I'd be like, well, Pastor, can I just drive my car on top of that building? But anyhow, like I said, you know, and I know for sure my mom and dad are going to be listening to the program tonight. And if you're listening right now, happy belated anniversary to you, Mom, and you also, Dad. And you guys have met the world to me together. You really have. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being here for this program through the last 3 years. And you folks are awesome people. So thank you for that. Thank you for them. From the bottom of my heart. Amen. Amen. So, a couple of programming notes before I get into the next thing I want to talk about. One of them is that a week from today, I will be in Ohio. No, excuse me, in that state to the south. Plan on trying to do a show at least. Possibly part of which may be from that wonderful diner, Schmucker's, that I greatly enjoy in Toledo. Or I might be doing a road trip radio show. Because but it's going to be good. And got to go down there to do some Christmas shopping with my mama. And also to go get some dining freedom to actually get to sit down in a sit-down restaurant, which the governor said yesterday, and I do not understand why. I do not understand why our governess, I mean that out of respect, a female governor, our governess said that restaurants would not be first in line to open. And I get getting the schools to be open first and that. But after that, she said casinos and bowling alleys. We can always mask. Seriously? Casinos? No. No. Not how it works. Maybe you open, what you do is you open high schools and colleges and the restaurants on the same day, as far as the bars, I don't drink. What I will say is this. If you're that worried about spread and where it could spread a lot, I would be much more concerned about bars than what I would be about almost anywhere else. Because of the dancing, close, you know, and all that congregating in groups, see where that could be, you know, and if a mask helps you wear it, if not, don't. You just got to do what you feel is best for yourself. So to be honest, really, what needs to happen is we need to cancel the restrictions and we need to realize that everyone needs to do what is best for themselves and their family. Yes, separation could maybe help a little bit. Not like the crazy stuff like what they want. Like maybe you know, instead of it being 6 feet away, maybe you do it like 4 feet. Don't do it like the 2 feet, but maybe like four, so that there's still a little bit of separation. But then again, but like I said, to each his own, it needs to be up to each person to decide. And how about to mask or not to mask? Up to you. And I think if a worker decides, works in a company that can work, that they can work from home, and the boss gives them the choice, and they would like to work from home, for example, that's all good and fine. If not, then it is what it is. And just time right now, you need to be gracious and realize that people need to be able to make what they feel is the right choice for themselves, for their family. And if you feel like it's better for your kids maybe this next semester to be virtual learning instead of in person, go ahead. If you think it's better for them to be in-person instruction, that's all good too. But it needs to be up to the person and the family, not to the state, not to the city health department, not to the, not, and I could, and I could, and I could, and I could name some, and I could name some of them. You know, Gabriel Newsom, you know, California, it's really actually Newsom, but I think he's kind of a nuisance. He told everybody months ago that if you were in the restaurant, you know, and he gave people this idea. He said, "Well, folks, how about this? How about you, when you're in the restaurant, I got a solution for you, listeners. If you did this, we could fix this. How about in between your bites while you're at the table, in between your bites of food, you put your mask back on. And then when you're ready to take your next bite, you take your mask back off." You know, like silly dumb stuff like that. And I know it's dumb, but I also think it's kind of silly. You say, "Will you do that?" No. I mean, put it on after I'm done eating to walk out of the business, like, say, when I go to Toledo next week. Did you pass north? Sorry. But anyhow, listeners, like I was saying, yeah, at least for right now, Governor DeWine has not said anything about closing down restaurants in the state of Ohio. And another encouraging thing is it looks like Governor Andy Beshear is seeing the light. Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky has decided that as of this right now, he doesn't feel a need to extend the dine-in ban in restaurants past the expiration date, which is December 14th. He has also set aside money to help the restaurants that struggled, which is not that he helped. But in that state, they have a little bit more outdoor dining friendly climate than what we do in Michigan here in the month of December. And of course, there's only so many igloos to go around. And I know, I like those igloos, they're cool, but there's only so many. But I was in one before we got hit. I was back in February. I was in it. February the 20th. The thing that I was doing with my lips, listeners, was like a kind of like a drum major thing, like one of those quicker things that they might use, like for band. That kind of sounded like it too, didn't it? because I remember from before, like in the past, before I kind of heard it from like outside somewhere, I kind of heard that clicker thingy. And that's why I think it's kind of funny. But nonetheless, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, the governor in Kentucky that has decided, as of now, decided that he's not going to extend it, unlike Michigan. And I think this whole thing with these other states and these lockdowns, I think it needs to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they need to make a decision on it. Because the way I see it, it is unconstitutional. It needs to ultimately be left to the people of this country to make the choices for themselves. And that's my 2 cents worth. And then also, for programming, I was gonna continue on in Psalms tonight, but I didn't bring it with me, so we're going to go Genesis 1 and 2, and we're going to deal a bit with let's go to 3 and 4. We're going to deal with Adam tonight. We're going to deal with Adam and what all happens there and what happened in the garden. Tomorrow night, we will read some more Psalms. But after that, on Monday, we're flipping the format to Christmas. I have already flipped the music, the songs I sing on the show, over to Christmas. They've been flipped as of when we hit December 1st. And so now, that's what I'm doing up until the last show, which will either be the 22nd or 23rd. And then probably possibly a Christmas overflow on the 28th. But then that'll be the end of it. It'd be more like an overpass, actually, because it'd be like a couple of days after. Or overtime. Overtime, that makes more sense, right? Overtime. Rather than overflow, overtime. Whatever that. And then and we're going to get into, you know, why we celebrate, you know, from a scriptural standpoint, why do we celebrate Christmas? We're going to talk a little bit about the Christmas tree. No, that won't be a whole lesson, but it'll be something to talk about. And you know, the candy cane, Santa Claus, you know, is he actually real or not? And also, you know, what are the reasons that Jesus came under the earth? What were they? Well, since I'm not asking you, what I'm saying is that's one of the things we're going to deal with. And teach on, as we'll be reading from our wonderful Christmas chapters in Matthew and Luke. And I'll look a bit from both, because that's the way we try to do it. And so that is going to be the plan for as far as the holidays. I mean, the programming leading up to Christmas on this show. And so before I sing a couple of songs, I want to talk to you a little bit about Rivers of Miracles with a Y. I mean with an I. Rivers of Miracles. So my mom, we wrote this book. My mom is the actual author, but I try to promote it as I can because the book is about me. And God told her to write it. But it's a story about a book. The book is a story about a God that my mother could not see, but that she strongly believed in. The book talks about my journey through life. It talks about some of the surgeries that I've had to go through. It talks about how my mom was delivered from speed. No, not the kind of thing that we might or might not be doing on the highway right now on Interstate 75 northbound. No. Hey, I'm not talking about that kind of speed. That's what I was saying. No, not that kind of speed. Is that other kind of speed, you know, that my mom is not something you want to mess with. Because like I said, it's fair games. It's fair games. Sometimes you got to get people to laugh, you know. It's part of why I did that, you know. But, anywho, it is but it talks about how she gave her life to Christ at the Open Door in Midland on Halloween night of 1988. And then she found out she was pregnant with me, had me in July of 89. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story because if I took all show and all the and everything and told you the whole story of the book, you would have no reason to buy the book or read the book. We want you to buy the book. I want you to buy the book. Go online to Rivers of Miracles, RIVERSOFMIRACLES.com to find out more information about the book and how you can buy it. The book is $15, and you can buy. And how about a great idea, listeners? How about you buy the book to read for yourself, and then after you've read it, how about you sell it to someone as a Christmas present? You buy it, and then after you've read it all, you sell it as a Christmas present. And so that could be a wonderful idea. Just throwing out a Christmas present for what to give you for, what you could give for Christmas. And I'm going to do a little bit better at it, because right now I'll be in a place and I'll be like, oh, it's a little bit busier because of the holidays and all that, or like the holidays that, well, really it's Christmas. And so, like I said, how about you give the book, or you can buy one for yourself and buy one for someone else as a Christmas present to give to someone. And I honestly believe, listeners, that people will give their lives to Christ as a result of this book. I truly believe that, listeners. People will be giving their lives to Christ as a result of that book. and I'm not just saying that, listeners, I mean it, with everything inside me. And so, let me just check my clock. Oh, sorry. Oh, but anyhow, so check out the book, riversofmiracles.com, and just take a look and give it a buy. B-U-Y, of course. Amen. So we're going to sing a couple of Christmas songs. I try to sing one of the lighthearted ones, you know, like Frosty or Chestnuts Roasting, or maybe one you haven't heard of maybe, and then a good Christian one before we get into the Word of the Lord. And then we'll spend some time in the Word of the Lord tonight. So, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes on a glow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna smile to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase. Kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, darling. Happy New Year, too. Oh, just one wish on this Christmas Eve. I wish I were with you. I wish I were with you. Merry, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, darling. By the way, that last part, of course, was from one of my favorite old-time Christmas songs, Merry Christmas, from, of course, The Carpenters. Always a good one, right? Always a good one. And another, you mean it, right? And another good one of those. This is just a sample, and I'm not going to sing it all tonight, but it's like, It's that time of year when the leaves where the ones fall in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your every dream come true. That's another one, listeners, of my old classic Christmas favorite. And another one this year I'm really starting to fall in love with is Christmas is the time to say I love you. Christmas is the time to say I love you. And the feeling that I'll last all through the year. Is that a newer one or is that kind of an older one that kind of came back?
I don't know.
You remember hearing it a little bit earlier though, right? But anyhow, listeners, we're gonna do another one. Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea." Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace more, mighty king, do you know what I know? But a child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold." Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us salvation and light. He will bring us salvation and life." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come before you right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You are our Savior. You do give us life. You dwell in our hearts, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we were created for you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these people who have made the determination to tune in to this broadcast to learn something about you tonight, that you reveal yourself to these people, things that they may not know about you. And I just thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon us. And I take authority over all sickness and disease that is in the lives of these listeners, and I curse all sickness and disease right now from our bodies. Sickness and disease has to leave, regardless of what it is. Pain has to leave. Deficiencies have to leave, because we are bought by the blood of the Lamb. And Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord God, I make my confession over this program now, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most of all, Jesus, I thank you for a huge amount of listeners. I mean, for salvations coming into this program, a huge amount of people giving their lives to Jesus as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. Let's make our Bible confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. This Bible is more than a history book to me. It's more than a religious book to me. It's more than a storybook to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, listeners, in case you haven't figured it out yet, I like it when my listeners participate. And even though we're doing it on the internet, of course, through the radio, still want you to participate, of course. So when I'm turning in the Bible, which I'm about to do in a second, I want you to follow along, because I believe that if you follow along, that's how you're going to get the most out of this, the things that God wants you to have. Amen. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Praise God, Genesis chapter 3. Yep, just want to make sure. Sorry, that was a lot of Bible, but just hoping you can hear how pages turning. And I used to hear from my past Dr. Buckley, he used to always tell us, there's three sounds that pastors love most. You want to know what they are, Megan?
What's that?
Those two sounds are pages turning and checks being ripped out of checkbooks, yeah, because it's offering time. Yeah. Amen. All right. Actually, let's go to chapter 2. And then we're going to begin with verse 1. We're going to go into chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1 of Genesis 2. So Genesis 2, 1, NIV. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. On the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant on the field had yet sprung up, and the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth yet, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, and there he put the man he had formed in Eden. And there he put the man that he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and were good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed. Turning the page. A river flowing from the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated by four headwaters. The name of the first is the Bashan. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromas rise, and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. The name of the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You must not, however, eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever man called him, that was its name. So that's where we get, you know, dog, cat, bird, and all the snake and all the other things. And I know snake sounds, and I know snake really does sound, you know, a little scary. And that doesn't mean you should all be afraid of snakes. Teach his own. That was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock and the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he performed an operation. I threw that part over. He performed an operation. And he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place of flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Or as Dr. Buckley likes to say, "Whoa, man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife. They will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked. They felt no shame." Now, chapter 3. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in this garden?' Turn the page. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But however, God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be just like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for those looking to become wise, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, and he was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Note, not masks for their faces. No face diapers. Verse 8. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God came to the man, and he said, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed above all the livestock and the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. He said to the woman, I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. He will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife, hold on, I was just turning the page. But he said, since you listened to your wife and you ate the tree from which I told you not to eat from, cursed is the ground because of you. With painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve, because she had become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat. And live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on each side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flashing sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So, what you see, listeners, is this was first sin of man. The fruit from the tree of life, the forbidden fruit. And I like to tease and say that it was something like a Reese's peanut butter cup. You know, something that is really tasty. And, you know, enjoyable to eat. What? It could have been an apple. It was an apple, in fact. Oh, I used to say maybe it was waffles. Or waffles, like the way I say it sometimes, like either way. Yeah. Kind of depends, but turns out it was actually an apple. But personally, I like to say I think Reese's peanut butter cups are even more tempting. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was a candy. It was either a caramel apple or maybe it was an apple with some syrup on it. Like a little bit of syrup maybe from your waffles, and you dipped your apple in some of the syrup. That might not be bad, right? Because then, in a way, it's really not, because then you're substituting the syrup for the caramel. You know what I mean? Because then it's more like a syrup apple, you know? Or better yet, you cut up the apple and put it in the waffles. That sounds kind of tasty, doesn't it? Yeah, like you cut it up, and then it's just, if there's a way to do it, like you kind of like bake it in there. You know, although if only you could toast an apple. I just mean like regular apples. Yeah, stuff. Well, I mean, but anyhow, listeners, all kidding aside, so what you see, listeners, there is, so God made them. First of all, God made Adam after he had made everything else over the first 7 days. Mind you, on 6 days, he did all the work. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work, blessed that day, made it holy, and it became the Sabbath. And there's 7 days in a week, and the seventh, listeners, is Saturday, not Sunday. The first day of the week, which is Sunday, we do our work as unto the Lord, like, you know, through church and what have you, and then you go to work for a man Monday through Friday. And then Saturday, listeners, is the Sabbath. That's the day that you're, as a family, and maybe as a family you do things, but in that you want to make sure you take some time for things of God. And I will admit, one time when I was younger, I must have read that verse wrong a little bit, because when I was younger, for a little while, I used to think that the Sabbath was Sunday. Because Sunday was when we would, of course, go to church. So that was my train of thought. Which, you know, on Sabbath day, you know, we go to church. Excuse me. Going to come or not? I hope not. Sorry about the sneeze, listeners. Sometimes you can't help it. Anyhow, so I thought, you know, it was Sabbath was Sunday, and Mom said we had a lot of work to do to clean the house, and we had done all kinds of house cleaning on Sunday's prior. And I was like, you know, 8 or something, 9, 10. I don't know how old I was. It was between 8 and 10. And I said, well, didn't you read in Exodus where it said on the seventh day you're not supposed to do any work, not your manservant, not your maidservant, and all that kind of stuff? And she's like, oh, that was for this. And that wasn't necessarily talking about cleaning your house. So I had kind of taken it out of context, number one. Number two, I later found out that the Sabbath, like right away, that the Sabbath was actually Saturday and not Sunday. As Sunday is, in fact, the first day of the week. So that really got rid of that confusion. You know, because when I was like four, for whatever reason, or maybe five or something, but I used to always have this little deal that in my mind that we always washed hair. And when I was really little, I thought it was on Sunday. And apparently at that time, she didn't tell me any better. And so I used to say, you know, we always wash hair on the Sabbath, Mom. You know? That's kind of funny, actually, isn't it? It'd be like, we always wash hair on the Sabbath. So, but, you know. But then, later, I realized, like, you know, that what I meant was, you know, we always wash hair on Sunday, you know, so that it looks great on Sunday morning. Now, that's just me personally. You do what you do. I do what I do. So, Adam and Eve. God created Adam, and he gave him dominion over the garden and over the land. And he was given dominion to name the animals whatever he wanted to name them. So he named one, you know, dog, cat, lion, snake, you know, the different names for the animals. And so, like I said, he named the various animals. And so, later God said, you know, and God gave him a command, you know, do not, you can eat from all these trees in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can eat from all the other trees, though. Not the good and evil. And so then God says, you know, he decides it's not good for Adam to be alone. So, you know, all those animals and that. There's all these animals and all that, but no helper could be found for Adam. So God does the operation on Adam and forms Eve from the rib. Longer two, but one flesh. And so, the serpent, you know, talks Eve into taking some fruit from the tree. Oh, and by the way, not just for herself, but also for Adam. And the serpent's all sitting there, and he's all saying, oh, you're not going to die. You'll become like God, and you'll be knowing of good and evil. And she said, you know, God told us not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, you know, you won't die. That's what the serpent said. You won't die. What he should have said is, you may not exactly die today. At some point, you will end up dying. She ate it. He ate it. And the eyes of them are open. They realize they're naked. Hide from God is what he did. and God finds them, and they end up getting banned from the Garden of Eden. Why? Because they did not listen to God. God gave them a very clear instruction. Eve gave in to the serpent, and that she was told not to eat from. And not only that, she gave one to Adam, and he ate it. It was probably a caramel apple. Maybe it was some fried apples, and they went to Crackle Barrel together to eat it. Oh, by the way, not in Michigan. And by the way, not to dine in Michigan, because that thing is shut on down. You know. But anyhow, you know. So, male and female, God created them. Male and female. Male and female. Not male, male. Not female, female. Not I don't know what I am today. Not I'm one today, I'll be the other tomorrow. I'll be a different one today, the day after that. No. Male and female. God created them. So, you know, God dealt with the serpent. God dealt with Adam. God dealt with Eve. And he told Eve, you know, because of what you did, you'll give birth, when you give birth to children, there'll be pains. And to Adam, she said, you know, you'll work and you'll, you know, there'll be thorns and thistles and all this other stuff. But just imagine what it could have been if Adam and Eve did not do that thing that they were not supposed to do. I tell you one thing, there would be no COVID. And it would be a whole lot different. Yeah, but that was the fall of man when Adam and Eve sinned. You see, their sin has very, very, very severe consequences. I'm going to give you a saying from one of Dr. Barclay's fathers in the faith, Dr. Roy Hicks. There are two beings within my shot. One is cursed. One is blessed. One I love. The other I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And even if you feed them both just almost equally, one's going to dominate. Which, by the way, you should not be teeter-tottering. Today's not a day to teeter-totter. No, it's not. It's not a day to be teeter-tottering on the teeter-totter on the playground. Oh, by the way, that's shut down. Not everywhere, right? It appears to shut down because it's cold outside. But anyhow, God. So, like I said, you know, don't eat from the knowledge of good and evil. That was God's rule. It wasn't just something someone came up with. Nope, that was God. God did that. And they decided, you know, we're not, you know, he, you know, at first he's like, well, you know, he told us not to eat. Same with her. But then the serpent's like, oh, go on ahead, Eve, please. Really? She's like, and he's all sitting there all tempting him like, oh, really? You're not going to eat it? And he's like, no, take, eat it. He's like, it sounds good, eat it. Maybe it was those pie, I don't know. In Tennessee. Or that state to the south. Or Indiana. But not Michigan and not Kentucky because of the mess. But, you know, so Adam was the first man made. But let me tell you something in case you guys didn't know this. Did you know, listeners, that Genesis is not the oldest book in the Bible? It's actually Job. Although Job may have happened after, you know, Job may have been born and everything after Noah, or before that, you know, Adam and all of that. Job is still an older book. Why? I don't know. But I know that. And Dr. Berkeley told us that. And he, you know, told us that. And I thought, you know, and I remember a couple times that he told us that before. And I thought, you know, when he was telling us that, I'm like thinking, well, that's good to know, Pastor. Because it can be so easy to think, you know, Genesis happened first, so it must have been the first wrote book first. Because usually when you read a book, if there's a series of books, usually you think, oh, they're written in chronological order, right? Usually. But with Job, not exactly the case. Job was before Genesis. Before. Not after. Maybe not in the order of how it happened, but as far as the writing. So, I just think that's kind of a cool thing to know. But it wasn't like it happened in quote-unquote negative time. Which would be like before creation. By the way, this evolution stuff, forget about it. It's not real. And I tell you, the science class where we dealt with evolution, struggled. Because I was like, really? We came from monkeys? Really? We came from all that? I'm like, last I checked, my Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Not a monkey, not a, you know, not a dinosaur, not a rhinoceros, or a cirrus, or a stegosaurus, or a George Soros, or anything, or any other saurus, or dinosaur. Or anything like that. You know? But, no, like, really? Like, really, you came from a monkey? No, I didn't come from a monkey. Or an ape. What was the other one they used to teach we came from? Monkeys, apes. Yeah, apes and monkeys. And that the descendants before us couldn't make any noises or speak or anything like that. But as we know, listeners, that the evolution stuff in the millions of years, trash. Well, what about the glaciers? I think the glaciers are true, at least. I'm honestly curious about that. I don't see the word glacier in the Bible. I do see where it talks about, you know, where God separated the, you know, separated the sky, used the sky, you know, to separate the water from the water, you know, and the land and all that, but glaciers. Do you think those were here before creation? I kind of think maybe they were. Don't you? Yeah, I'm sure there were glaciers. But anyhow, I would really be curious, listeners, to see, how do glaciers factor into the creation? That way I don't ever think of it as the other, like I said, garbage. Lord God, I thank you for this word. I thank you that this word would get on the inside of us. I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless us and help us, and that you would be there with us and guide us in all of our ways. And that this word would just get in our souls. Now, listeners, I want to make sure you know, tell someone about Jesus today, please. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.